We continue our learning Le'ilu Nishmas Davim Menachem Rosh Menachem Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Yevamos Perek Tezvav Mishnah Yud. Nitan Le'yavam Ibn Asayam. He is a following case. You have a woman who went overseas and she says, you know, I want to let you know that my mother-in-law gave birth to a son when I was overseas. So at that time, which true when we went overseas, my husband didn't have a brother, and we didn't have children, and there was no din of Yibum. So even though we didn't have any children, but there's no brother. But I'm telling you that my mother-in-law gave birth to a child, so there is a Yavam. So, and then, what does she say about that, in addition to that? But I want to let you know that my husband died, and then my Yavam died. Or Yavami, v'achachach bali, or she testifies that the Yavam, the brother-in-law, the new brother that was born to her mother-in-law, died, and then her husband died. Says the Mishnah Ne'emenes. She is believed to the fact that the Yavam had passed away, and she's allowed to remarry. Now, usually when a woman makes this claim that a Yavam died, we don't allow that. And we're going to see that later in the Mishnah. But here it's allowed. Why? Because this is just maintaining her chazakah. It's good. What was her status? Her chazakah was there was no Yavam. So the only reason, this is another example of Pesha Asar or Pesha Hitir, she's the one who we only know that there's an existence of a Yavam because of her Eidus. So if that's the case, and now she says, but he also passed away and there is no Yavam, and therefore there is no mitzvah of Yibum, so we're going to believe her. Holcha hi uva'ala vivama limidinas hayam. Let's say you have a case where she and her husband and the Yavam went overseas, the husband's brother, and when they went overseas, they had no children, but there was a brother. Amra meis bali v'achachach meis yivami, or yivami v'achachach meis bali. And then she says, my husband died, and then my Yavam died, or the Yavam died, my husband died. So she's saying that both the husband and the Yavam died. So according to that, she should be able to remarry. She shouldn't need any chalitz at all. Ain't an emenis. She's not believed. Shane, as we mentioned in the race, Shane or Isha ne'emenis lomar meisivami shatina se. In the race, we had a case of Peshas or Peshihitir. She's the one who told us there was a Yavam to begin with, so she can say there's no Yavam anymore. But in a case where we know there's a Yavam, there's a Chazaka, there's a brother-in-law for her now to say, by the way, my husband died, and the Yavam died, and we didn't have any children. I didn't have children with my husband, and therefore I should be able to be free to remarry without any Chalitza and an Amenis. She'en o'isho ne'amenis lamar meis yivami, she'tina say. She's not believed because we're afraid maybe there's some hatred she has towards her brother-in-law, and therefore is making up this whole story that he died, so she doesn't have to have the mitzvah of Yibum. But so therefore she's not believed to remarry without any Yibum or Chalitza by claiming that her brother-in-law, who we know existed, died. V'lo mesa achosi shetikones leveso. Another example of where we don't believe a woman. This is where a woman's testifying that her sister died. Now, we know that a man is not allowed to marry to two sisters. But when one passes away, so then he can marry the sister of his deceased wife. So how here have a woman who comes to testify, my sister died, and therefore I should be able to marry her husband. So we don't believe a woman to say that. A woman is believed to testify that her husband died, and therefore she is permitted to remarry. We know that from previous Mishnahs. What's the difference in testifying that her sister died to marry her sister's husband versus saying that her husband died and now she's free to remarry? So the difference is that the Chachamim only believe her testimony in order to free her from being an aguna. So that's not be able to remarry. So that's why we shall investigate. We also go through all the whole process to make sure that that husband really died. We don't want to remain in aguna that she can't remarry at all. But so therefore we believe her with respect to her husband passing away. So in a case where we want to establish that her sister died so that he can marry his sister's husband, what do you mean? She's allowed to marry whomever she wants. So this is not a case of aguna. Not only that, when a woman, as we said, when a, a woman testifies that her husband passes away. So we know that she's in a lot of trouble if she if this is a lie, if she's not telling the truth, as we've learned. So we therefore can rely on her. But that you don't have those same isurim and same penalties that are going to apply where she ends up marrying her sister's husband if her sister comes back, returns later. That we learned in the 10th parak in the 4th Mishnah, and therefore we cannot rely on her to testify that her sister died in order shetikanes leveso, to literally enter our house and marry her sister's husband. And veino ishneman lomar meis achi sheyabem ishto. Nor do we believe a man to say that his brother died, so that he will be able to perform yibum with his brother's wife. Meaning, a man says, "Oh, my brother passed away. Unfortunately, I guess I have to do yibum to his wife." So we're afraid that he has some attraction to his sister-in-law. So therefore, we don't believe him to say that. But if he testifies, let's say that his brother died, and he mentioned no interest in performing yibum with his brother's wife. So we don't know, when that happens right now, we don't allow them to marry. But let's say now this one who testifies dies. So then after he passes away, we're going to accept his testimony that he testified when he was still alive, and this widow was allowed to remarry. There's no problem of Yibum, we'll believe that testimony after the fact, after he passes away. V'lo mesa ishti sheyisa achosa. Also, a man is not believed to testify that his wife died, so he's allowed to marry his sister. Chachamim did not institute that a man's edus be accepted in establishing that his wife died. Why? Because it's not an aguna problem. So he and his sister-in-law are allowed to marry whomever they want. So therefore, to say a man testifying, "Oh, my wife died," so that he's able to marry the sister, that we don't believe either. We begin the 16th and final parak of Maseches Yevamos. Ha'isha shalach bala v'tzara asala midinas hayam. Here you have a case where a man is married to two women. So the husband and the co-wife, one of the tzaros, went overseas. They had no children, but there was a brother. So the wife would become a yevama if the husband passed away. Uvova amrula meis ba'alich. And now two edim come and testify that the husband died. So there were no children, and there was a yavam. So she's not allowed to marry, based on the fact that maybe there is a zika between for yibum to the yavam. So this is, once again, a woman went over, you have a woman who's here, her husband and her tzara went to Medinas Hayam, and two edim say, "By the way, your husband passed away." This woman is, we're not allowed to remarry because we're afraid that, because there is a, we know that there was a brother, and there were no children, and there is a yavam, so therefore she can't remarry. Now, one of the problems with this that the Mefarshim explain is that we should have there should be a rove here. What's the rove? What's the majority? Well, what happened? You have this woman, this husband went away. Remember, the two wives. So one wife stays home, and one wife went with the husband. So shouldn't we assume that they went overseas for a couple of years, that she became pregnant, that this tzara became pregnant, and they had a child? And if that would be the case, then there would be no din of yibum if the husband passed away. And this tzara, who's still living in town, should not have to do yibum at all. Can we make an assumption that a woman gets pregnant and has a child? Now you'll say, there's a possibility it's not a viable child. So that may be true, but in terms of rove, maybe we should assume there was a child, and therefore there's no yibum at all. Why is this not the case? And that's because there was a chazaka that the woman was a yavama, meaning before the husband and that tzara left, this other tzara who stayed here was potentially zukuka leibam. We knew there was a yavam, and that is a chazaka. Now, usually rov is able to beat out a chazaka, but nonetheless, here we don't say that. Why? Because there is still a strong minority of women who don't become pregnant, and not only that, they may miscarry and have a stillborn. So because of that, there's enough of a minority. Now I put together the chazaka and this minority, which is strong enough, and that can overpower the rove. Says the Mishnah, So what happens? So he has the potential, she's not allowed to remarry yet, but because there's potential yibum here, velotis yabim, nor should she have yibum, there is to the yavam, there is the possibility that the tzara overseas became pregnant. So, and therefore, if there's a child and there was no din of yibum, and now she's going to be living, this tzara who lived here is going to be living with her brother-in-law with no, where there's no mitzvah of yibum. That's not allowed. So since we don't know, so we should wait around until we find out whether she was meuberes or not. So there, that is, now why don't we just do chalitza? That would be simple. Do chalitza, and then she can she be released completely. So the reason we don't do that is because we know after chalitza, the almana becomes prohibited to marry a kohen. And the chachamim were afraid that if less that we find out that the tzara overseas had a child and ever the chalitza was completely not necessary, so then we would allow this almana to marry a kohen because the chalitza was meaningless. But then people will think, who don't know that the kohen really had a child, they'll say, oh, look at that. Even a woman who has chalitza is allowed to marry a kohen. So because of that, chachamim said, don't do chalitza until we know that the kohen did not have a child. And once we know that, so then we can perform the chalitza. Says the Mishnah, ha'isa lach chamos. Chamos is a mother-in-law. So this is another case. What happened is we knew the husband passed away overseas without children, but there was no brother-in-law that we knew, no potential yibum. But the mother-in-law was overseas, and maybe she gave birth to a child. Maybe she had a new yavam. Maybe the yavam popped into the picture. This woman who's where we say the husband passed away overseas does not have to worry that her mother-in-law gave birth to a son. You'll say most women become pregnant, but we said some births are potential are not viable children, and they're stillborn, and therefore and we have a chazakah that there was no yavam, and therefore we can maintain that status all the way through. Yatsa samaleya, then chosheshes. But let's say mother-in-law left overseas and she was pregnant. We just don't know what happened. Was it a viable child or not? So then she has to be chosesh. Well, then we have to be, then we do have to worry about that. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ain't a chosheshes. Now, this almana doesn't have to worry about the possibility of a yavam being born from a mother-in-law, and that's even if the mother-in-law was known to have been pregnant before she went overseas, because we can assume that the majority is against the fact that a yavam was born, because there are stillbirths, and that's number one. Even if it's a male, and the possibility is that it's a female. So that is Rabbi Yeshua's argument. What will the Tanakhama say? After all, it's more than 50%. So he'll say, no, well, even so, that it could be a female and therefore wouldn't be a Yavim at all. Nonetheless, the fact that she left pregnant, so that enough is a chazak of pregnancy that we have to be worried that maybe Yavim was really born.